Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
What a special time to look back over my years and years and even more years of doing interviews with celebrities. And this episode was a special one because of the legacy of works that he has done. And that's Lou Gossett Jr. I'm Mary Jane Popp. And of course, with me, as always, is my producer of Pop Star Talk, Kenneth Segura Knoll. And with us on this episode is our special guest, Matthias Blumbau, film critic and historian, MAB Hollywood. Now, Matthias, I'm going to start with you. Was I exaggerating when I said Lou's legacy will live on for generations to come?
Absolutely not, Mary Jane. Here is an actor who, even at his earliest beginnings in the late 60s and early 70s, was making some pretty big impressions on the screen with such wonderful, I'm going to call it a cult classic. I don't think it was a big hit in theaters, but it's beloved by many. It's a movie called Travels with My Aunt with Maggie Smith. And in that picture, he made a very colorful impression early on. And of course, he was in the movie Woodstock, the great concert film. He was featured in that as well. So that's right around the same time, 1969. And those were an early beginning for him to go on to do many great roles that we've come to enjoy, from action films to the movie for which he won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. So yes, you're not exaggerating.
Oh, thank you. But Ken, what was your favorite movie? Was it Officer and a Gentleman?
Oh, no. He had such a huge body of work, but I loved when he played Sadat in 1983.
Oh, yeah.
He was so convincing, you know, and it's when you're an actor, it's hard to take so many roles and be convincing where you believe that it's not him, the person, or another actor, you know, or another part that he played. But he really nailed it in Sadat.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing, too, is I was amazed when I found out how he began his career. He was still in high school at 17 years old, and one of his teachers said, you got to go audition for a show. And he went out, auditioned for a part, got it. And shortly thereafter, we're not talking like years, just, you know, a very short time after, he successfully auditioned for the Broadway play, Take a Giant Step. Isn't that amazing? He started out very, very, very young. So, you know, this man will go on forever in all the work that he did, but also in what a gentleman he was, not only in a gentleman and an officer and a gentleman, but he was also just a nice person. So let's check in on a special day gone by for me.
Hey, look yonder, tell me what's that you see? Marching to the fields of Concord. Looks like handsome Johnny with a musket in his hand, marching to the Concord War. Hey, marching to the Concord War. Hey, look yonder, tell me what's that you see?
Now we hear this song and you think, ah, that's Richie Havens. Yeah, it is Richie Havens, but that song was co-written by my next guest. Now, would you believe that a sports injury led him to his incredible acting career with movies like The Deep and Officer and a Gentleman, Enemy Mine, The Punisher, and Iron Eagle? This Academy Award-winning actor has done it all, from television and stage to the big screen, with several productions still in post and or awaiting release. Now, you'd think that Lou Gossett Jr. has his hands full, but no. He has another project that he has that has his attention. It's called the Erasism Foundation, and there's an inaugural ball, the Purple Ball, to benefit the foundation. He has a mission to accomplish before he calls it quits. Mr. Gossett, thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be there. Good
now,
talking to you.
It is incredible
To see a person of your stature, the movies that you have done, the work that you have accomplished, and yet you want to dedicate what you call the last quarter of your life, and we hope it's a lot longer than that.
The last 75 years. You know.
There you go, exactly. To the Eracism Foundation. Now, tell us, what is your mission? What is your dream with the Eracism Foundation?
Ironically, it was a very unpopular dream deep in people's minds, especially across this country, well, 5 years ago when I started to talk about the idea. And then when I incorporated, made it a 501c3, everybody seemed to agree. The United Way, the YWCA has got the same motto to get rid of racism. And the brothers and sisters, everybody is now on board. But then when Barack Obama won the presidency, it came to the top of the surface that we must prepare our American society for the reception of and the reality that a black man could be president of the United States.
Well, and the beautiful part... Mr. Goss, I really be honest about this. I think by calling him even multiracial, because he is. He's half
absolutely.
Black and half white. He's a president for all the people.
He fits like a glove.
Yeah.
During the campaign, they kept talking about race, and he represents both races. It's a no-brainer.
Exactly.
And what are you going to do talking about race? He's both.
Thank you. Now,
the best thing that man did was stop the campaign and go see his grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the photograph of his grandmother in Hawaii, they sold it all.
Yeah. Still, he had a heart. You know, he showed that there's still heart out there, even in politics.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that's going on. Isn't this crazy? Politics seems to have gone insane.
Huh?
Politics seems to have gone insane.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it goes that way because it's very funny. The country started from oppressed people from Europe.
Yeah.
They ran from being oppressed for different reasons. And it became the place where everybody would go, from Italy and France and England and Germany and all those places. And a very ironic thing takes place when you run and you create your own from oppressed people. You have the danger of taking the characteristics of your oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to outgrow that entire paradigm in order to free yourself.
Well said.
It's taken all of this time just to outgrow the oppressor personality to be an equal country. It's written in all of the declarations and in our Pledge of Allegiance, but for us to come to the plate and realize that all men are created equal, it took something like this for us to try to realize. And some people still won't believe it, but
gotcha.
It's more now the people who don't believe it are in the minority, obviously. Now.
You bet.
We need to prepare our children not to bring on any negatives, not carry them on from one generation to another, and do only the positives. So we can't plant any negatives into our children. We have to put together an organization, a mindset, with or without the organization, that these children, all of them, must be mentored properly. The ones who are in a minority who don't think they have a shot now have to know that they have a shot. And there's examples out there, like the synagogues and the temples, the synagogues of the Jews and the temples of the Koreans, where these children, before they even go to school, have to learn who they are, what their history is, their self-respect, respect for the elders, respect for the opposite sex, their hygiene, their ability to speak, used to start in the home, must come from this place, the Shamba Center, I call it.
Right.
Then when they come out of there, they're ladies and gentlemen in the streets and definitely in the schools. That's a positive step toward bettering our society.
You bet.
So that if we say a prayer, we live it. If we say a pledge, we live it. It's all written. We just have to behave that way.
I must ask you, first of all, do you mind if I call you Lou?
That's my name.
Okay, I appreciate that. I feel like I know you. I mean, I've admired you on the screen for so long. I feel like I know you anyway. But I did want to ask you, Luke, because it seems like you're so right. You hit it right on target when you said that the oppressors then become the people who oppress. And it's because it's power. When people get power, they get corrupted.
Yeah. And plus, we forget about the people who put on the powers that put us on the planet. Whether you might call him God, might call him Buddha, might call him Allah. There has been, from the wise men of all cultures and all religions, it has been written on the way we should live. And when we separate ourselves from those precepts, that's where we start making decisions that we should not make. We should follow the lines of those beautiful books and those beautiful philosophies.
Yeah.
Because they were studied and they were put there for us to live by. And we don't. We're beginning to do that now. which was wonderful. I'm very proud of this country making this dramatic, giant change. But now the work starts.
Now, the hard work starts, because let's be honest about it. He did not get elected into a very good time. This is bad.
No, but the work, the hard work is really easier if you know you're doing the hard work for making something better.
This is true. This is true.
Hard work is when you're trying to climb up a mountain, in a nice mountain with bare feet. That's hard work.
You bet.
This is something else. This is resolute. This is beautiful. This is God-driven. And it might take 4 to 8 years, if not longer.
Yeah.
But as long as we're going in that direction, it seems like God helps us. And it speeds up and it gets there before you think.
I do have to be honest with you, though. Do you think we'll ever, ever be able to do away with total bigotry? There's always going to be some form
Absolutely
of bigotry
not.
In one form or another.
No, there's got to be bigotry so that we can compare the non-bigot with it.
Well
as long
said.
As there's more free-thinking people than there are bigots. There's got to be bad news in order for good news to be so good. There's got to be a turmoil in order for the good times to be relished. So that's going to happen, I think, forever. Because I think it's put out there for us to make our choices. And through our experiences, we have intelligence, and then we make the proper choice. Like a child who touches a hot iron, that's the turmoil.
Yeah.
But the next of it, when he touches the iron, he grabs the handle. So I think we have to learn that way. Those are things for us to learn by. I hope we've learned that war is not the way.
That's right.
Where that song comes from.
I've always said, and I bet you'll agree with me, in war, nobody wins. I mean, we always say
nobody
there's a
wins.
Winner. There's no win.
Well, there's a bottom line problem, which makes us still to how we're removed from this.
Right.
Is the main problem is that the planet is about to die. It's about to change dramatically and get rid of all of us because of the size of the hurricanes and the storms and the earthquakes. The only way to stop that is for everybody to drop all the other agendas around the world and cooperate in saving the planet, which will replenish everyone and feed everyone.
Why?
And if we're fighting a war, then we're like everybody's in a 747 airplane that's at 30,000 feet,
uh-huh.
and the plane is really plummeting to the ground, but people are still busy fighting over who's going to be in first class.
Isn't that? That's true.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We're blowing things up and killing people, and the planet is dying. That's nonsense.
And the idea of fighting over religion, you know, it's like, that's insanity.
It's insanity.
Killing each other. And, you know, and I have to be honest about this, because I'm a firm believer. I believe in God and all that. But it's like, excuse me, more people have died in the name of religion than anything else. Isn't that insane?
It's man taking over and putting his precepts for his own good, taking something that's written beautifully and interpreting it the wrong way, just like laws. Every time man takes over and thinks he's the king, he comes up with something that's destructive.
You
the
bet.
Stuff is written for us to live by. We have to live by it.
You know,
So I say in the media, which is what I do, I try and encourage television and movies and documentaries to put those films on the screen. That will help our people and our children know that there's no such thing as possible. There's a better way to live. We've got enough violence on our screen.
It's
all over the place.
It's not only
because it makes money, but we need some stories like they used to have.
Exactly. Something that gives hope.
That's right.
We don't have any. It seems like even the young people. I live close to a high school up in Northern California, and I see these kids coming out, Lou, and they're sad. They wear dark clothes, and their heads are held down. There's no spirit left anymore. It's terrible.
Nobody taught them those basics. I learned it back in the day in the neighborhoods, which were clean and multiracial, and an extended family. Nobody could do bad. Everybody knew who did that bad, so it was tough.
Yeah.
Now they're running the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We've got to take responsibility. It's a responsibility with a capital R.
I mean, I was raised...
I've had grandchildren, and I want the planet to be better for them.
Exactly. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. It was tough. It was a tough area.
I know it
area.
Had to be tough.
But you know what? It wasn't bad. Everybody looked out for each other.
That's right. That's right.
Amazing.
So that's what we've got to get back to. That's really one nation under God, indivisible, the way it's written.
Yeah.
We don't have to enhance and embellish it, just the way it's written.
Yeah, keep it simple, keep it pure.
That's right. So maybe it's just the foundation is a reminder that perhaps it'd be easier when we resurrect ourselves to go back to the basics.
There you
go. It's already written. Let's just live them.
Yeah, we get into such a complicated world, Lou, that we lose sight of the basics.
The magic word, loophole.
There you go. That's true. That's true.
And gentlemen, I got to ask you, some of the things that he was saying, aren't we still experiencing that today? Isn't that amazing? Ken, what do you think? We're talking about power and overtaking and all this, and they're going, my gosh, he's talking about what's happening now.
You know, in almost every interview that we do, that's true.
Yeah.
The subject is current, you
yes.
know, and going back to him playing him Sadat in that miniseries, I just, you know, there were politics and the Russians, and he was so believable because I think he really, he would believe the character that he was playing. And
yes.
he really lived the characters. I don't know, you know, method, you know, actors have methods, but I don't know what his method was. I don't know if you discussed it, but he was a great actor.
Oh, absolutely.
He didn't get enough credit. He did well win, I think, a Golden Globe. Matias, I don't know if he did, but I think he won that for Sadat.
He did.
But, yeah. And I just remember that miniseries for many reasons, but we won't go into that.
And he had such a varied career. A musician. Unbelievable. I didn't know anything about his musician background.
No.
Sort of like you, Ken. You know, we're doing this show, but you're a musician too. So it's like all ties together.
Well, I want to clarify something.
Yeah.
I'm not a musician.
Oh, what are you?
I'm an artist that can formulate something that I feel, and then I let the musicians and the artists do it for me.
He's a musician, Matias. Let me tell you right now.
Well, I'll tell you a story later about how much a musician I am.
Okay. Sounds good. This one other thing that I thought was fine, because so many things this man has done. I mean, at the end of the 1950s, this is way back, pretty tall guy at that time, 6'1". He was actually offered the opportunity to play for the New York Knicks, and he turned down the offer to instead accept a role in A Raisin in the Sun. So you never know what's going to happen in your life. And Matias, you too. I mean, just knowing the variety of this man is incredible.
Absolutely. Incidentally, Kenneth, he won the Golden Globe for the Josephine Baker story, which is, he won a Golden Globe for that. But in 1961, the picture you're talking about was Sidney Poitier, A Raisin in the Sun, was his first major motion picture. So I would understand why he would, of course, turn down joining a famous baseball team, because it was his first movie. And I think his true love was in acting and performance, not so much baseball. But I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't like baseball. Obviously, that's quite an interesting offer.
Absolutely. It's amazing learning about these people and their backgrounds and, you know, what they had to go through. And, you know, we always look at them on the big screen or the small screen and we think, oh my gosh, it's so great. They're famous and all that. But we don't know all the stories behind them, right, Ken?
No. And Matias and the Knicks are a basketball team.
Yeah, that's what I was thank you, Ken, because I was thinking, what's that basketball?
Right.
I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you.
Obviously, you can see my handicap.
I wouldn't challenge you on anything on film.
No, absolutely none. This man knows it all and more. He also, which I thought was interesting, struggled with a very debilitating disease in the 1990s and even into the early 2000s. And he was actually given a prognosis of 6 months to live from a doctor at one stage. And then in 2001, he learned that his illness was actually due to toxic mold in his Malibu home, which I thought was incredible. Then in 2010, he announced that he had prostate cancer. So, I mean, he's been through that. He added that the disease was caught in early stages. He expected to make a full recovery. Then in 2020, he was hospitalized in Georgia with COVID-19. He eventually passed away, of course, from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease at a rehabilitation center in Santa Monica. And He died at the age of 87, heart failure and atrial fibrillation. And so many of the actors are now talking about AFib, atrial fibrillation, and be very, very careful. Check things out to make sure that everything is going to be okay. But, you know, the one thing that I found out about his racism foundation and the purple ball, I was more curious about the ball that he spoke of. So I asked Lou to tell me more about the purple ball.
The purple ball was inspired by all that concept that we've just spoken about. And he has the same concept. His favorite color now is purple. It's a combination of red and blue, Republican and Democrat.
I love it.
And so we have, from the Movie Society, from the Show Business Society, want to declare our support and whatever he wants us to do. It's a tight little classy ball about 250 people at the Mayfair Hotel. And it's a sit-down dinner. And it's endorsed by Moy from Moy Chandon. And it's an opportunity to make a support statement for him. I will have more fundraisers at a more reasonable price in the not-too-distant future across the country by helping some of the programs that are doing well anyway, designating them as official Shamba centers where you have this kind of curriculum. My partner in writing the curriculum is Wheelock College in Massachusetts because they have a diverse faculty. And I have experts in all those subjects: conflict resolution, self-esteem, all of that. So not only could it be a center, a physical center, but it's also a curriculum, like a synagogue, for that matter.
I love it.
These children, apart and aside from the educational system, are much more prepared to learn than they go.
And isn't that...
So a teacher doesn't have to be a policeman or a mother or father. Teacher just teaches.
The key is education. We have
education
It's positive education. Because we can grow up in our own little world, but we don't know what the rest of the world is like.
You get examples of some of our athletes who get into trouble.
Yes.
You look at their children, there was nobody there to teach them the right and wrong.
Yeah. And money doesn't do it, that's for darn sure.
That's what they think.
The more money they
get. So it's a responsibility for a mature person to be positively affected for the next generation.
Yeah. It is so
important.
That's
what we think. When you get to my age and you've done what I've done, that's a legacy. That's, you know.
You bet.
That's what I think we should all be thinking in those terms, of making sure that the next generation has it better.
What we have to do is get away from, I'm successful now, I can buy everything now, and I'm not looking forward to what's going to be gone, what's going to be left after I'm gone.
And most of those rich folks aren't all that happy.
No, I believe that. It's amazing. We need more people like you, Lou, who step up to the plate. But, you know, they don't come out enough and speak out enough about it.
Well, I'm calling them. Come on out. This time. Well, they did show come. They came out to vote for the right man, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right.
Now that you're out, I got something to tell you.
I love it. You know, when you talk about the right man, we needed change. We do need change. I mean, there's no doubt in the mind. And I think in the minds of all this country that we do need change. But we need change all over the world. Everyone's going to have to make changes.
We affect the world.
Yeah. True.
We affect the world. But our backyard's got to be clean.
Yeah. And it's not. I mean, we know we've got problems. We're still the best country in the whole world, but we got problems.
Tell me about it.
We have
I'm
to deal with
it. Very proud of this.
And that's the other thing we can't lose sight of, because too many people will say, "Oh, well, we're all bad. Everything's bad." No, you know, you got to take.
That's not it.
You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, for gosh sakes.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
There's a humorous anecdote going around about Michelle Obama.
Oh, really?
She went to the paint shop and ordered 15,000 cans of beige paint. I was wondering what she's going to do with the beige paint in the White House.
Very good. This is good. Now, you say you're going to have some more of these fundraisers along the way?
Yeah, this was the first one to
kick off,
to remind people about it.
Uh-huh.
Then we're going to have some nice little concerts and boxing matches, and some of the ball games will be devoted to the E-Racism Foundation.
Now, you're going to do this all over the country?
During the course of the year.
Oh, good. You can do this all over the country?
As much as possible, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Getting the NBA, hopefully, to devote one game a year, the NBA, the baseball, the football, one game.
Great. Oh, that's excellent. Good deal. Now,
having them finance and help, because they're doing it anyway. This really takes a big bite out of their, that they're helping with children. This is for the babies.
Now, I need to ask you, because I admire your work, your dedication, your life's work, and what you're trying to do. What is your philosophy of life? If you could tell me, you know, what is Lou Gossett Jr. all about?
My philosophy of life is the same when I get the children. I say three times every day. There's no such thing as impossible. And there's got to be faith. I have faith in God, which I was taught. I've gotten away from God, and it wasn't good. I had my choices. We have our choices.
Mm-hmm.
And when we want to grow, there's absolutely no such thing as impossible.
Okay. I love it. Oh, that
so
is...
When you wake up with that, every thought is possible. If you can dream it, you can do it.
And you have to believe. You know, we've lost belief in so much. I'm not knocking...
Faith.
Well, it's faith in everything, because we've gotten so much to having everybody tell us what to do or how to live or how. You got to believe in yourself first.
Yeah. So you got to eliminate the fear, because when there's fear, there's no faith.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people not in the mix, especially in the hoods, who don't think that way.
It's true, because like you said...
Really, they're the ones that benefit most, but all children will eventually benefit the most.
Well,
but those who don't think there's any hope. Is the key. That's my target.
Now, you didn't grow up in a terrific neighborhood either, did you?
It was poor, but it was multiracial. It took a long time for me to know about racism. I was maybe 19 years old.
Wow.
When I first got confronted with it was in the 60s, in the late 60s in California, when I was the first African-American to be put in the Beverly Hills Hotel. Others were African diplomats.
Uh-huh.
And the William Morris Agency they just gave me a great car and put me in a beautiful suite and I was in the Beverly Hills Hotel and I ate too much dinner, so I went to walk to see the movie stars' homes, and they handcuffed me to a tree for 2 hours, telling me I can't do that.
No way.
Was my first object of racism.
My God.
Hollywood has changed since then.
We've made some strides, thank God. You know.
Oh my God, have we in a very short while. All of us.
And
grown up very quickly.
And a whole lot more to come, right?
Oh, there's always going to be a lot to come. It's infinity. As long as we go in that direction.
Keep the nose pointed in the right direction and you'll get there.
That's all it takes. Complete faith going in the right direction brings you miracles.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping that everything turns out well. I said, whether you voted for, and I like the idea of what President-elect Barack Obama said. He said, if you voted for me, thank you. If you didn't vote for me, I will try and make you proud of, you know, what my being elected. And I think
he
tried to bridge the gap between everybody at that point. I like that. That was a good statement.
He's our president. He's got to be president for the people who didn't vote for him, too.
Yeah. But he's
a great man.
I do hope that he succeeds, because it's going to be a very, very difficult journey for him.
Yeah, well, he's going to have more support as much as he has more support than he thinks. He's got some support from us.
And I think the rest of the world is looking. They're looking real closely at this.
Oh, they're in love with us. They see us doing the right thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, too. Well, Lou, I would love to be able to talk with you in the future. Any fundraisers that you have going on, whether it's in California or whatever, because we also audio stream and podcast and all that, please let us know. We'll be more than happy to put that out there for you.
Okay, you know, always contact me through my foundation, which is on the website, is eracismfoundation.org.
Excellent. And you'll, like I said, you'll have all these different fundraisers. We wish you the best. By the way, what's the next movie coming out?
Well, there's some small movies. That's another issue. I figured I should be doing major movies, you know, like Samuel Jackson and Morgan Freeman.
Uh-huh.
But I think the guy that pushes the door down is the one that gets the whips, and everybody else gets the glory. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I need to do. The next movie is Shannon's Rainbow, The Least Among You, and another one that's coming out called The Perfect Game.
The Perfect Game. Okay, terrific. You know, like I said,
episode is about 3 weeks of ER.
Oh, ER. Excellent. You know, it was so funny because when I was waiting for you to come on, I was saying that. I said, I can't believe this man. He's so busy doing all these movies. He's got movies in post-production. He's got movies waiting for release. And I said, and he can still do the Eracism Foundation, too. If you're an inspiration to us, too. This is the whole idea.
Yeah, well, it looks like a lot of work, but it really isn't. I would prefer sometimes to do this one movie for a proper salary that I think I deserve, and then the rest would be happening even easier. But this replaces the major movie salary.
Well, you're doing...
It's been a long time since I've done a major movie.
Well, yeah, but you know what? You're doing the important ones, the ones that have messages. Like you said earlier...
I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing now.
We need hope, we need faith, and if we don't have something that gives us this hope and faith, and especially the young people, we're going to be lost. We're going to get off that road again.
We'll be in quicksand.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Lou, thank you so much for being with us on Pop Off.
Wonderful to talk to you.
I look forward to our next time together, okay?
Thank you. God bless you and have a great day.
Terrific. And I have a very, very wonderful holiday season and a very new year. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Back at you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lou Gossett Jr., he's the man. It's called Eracism Foundation. So it's E-R-A-C-I-S-M Foundation. So it's eracismfoundation.org. Take a look at it. You can also go to inauguralpurpleball.com and get more information. But you can even Google Eracism Foundation or Lou Gossett Jr., and it'll come up, I guarantee you. So check that out. We need this. We need this desperately in this country. And only the future knows. But you know what? We're all part of that future if we start.
Boy, are we part of that future. And it's amazing. I mean, this interview was done probably in 2017, 2018, something like that. And we're still facing all these things. It's just absolutely amazing. Matthias, any final ideas, comments, you know, that you feel about Lou Gossett Jr.?
Well, you know, he was talking about movies he was going to do. And when he did die last year in 2004, he left 11 films entirely unfinished. So I don't know how many of those 11 films will eventually be released or not. But I certainly hope that we'll have some of those come out so we can see yet another facet of a fine actor who throughout his own life has been such an inspiration and also connected in a very real way to what he believed of in his organization. I mean, if you look at 1971, when he made the movie The Skin Game with James Garner, there he was flipping racism on its ear by playing a free man who was sold by James Garner as a to get money, the two of them as con men, to get money from a plantation owner, who then later escaped. So he was already very early on in his career in movies, flipping racism upside down and trying to do something about it, and then eventually formulating this. You realize, of course, when he did win the Oscar for his incredible portrayal as the drill sergeant, Emil Foley, in An Officer and a General, and that was the first time a Best Supporting Actor Oscar went to a black man. So you, mm-hmm. if you think about it, this man has been true to his heart and his belief and to try to find inclusion since the beginning of his career. And what fantastic movies he made along the way.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, the Eracism Foundation still exists, as far as I'm concerned. And I checked it out. And also, you mentioned about when he passed away, so many projects were still there. In 2024, the live action animation film, If, was actually released, where he voiced Lewis the Imaginary Bear. And the film is actually dedicated to his memory, which I thought was amazing. Ken, any final thoughts about this man?
No, I really love the idea of a purple party, you know.
Isn't that a great idea?
A great idea.
Actually, yes.
You know, I look at his career, and he talks about doing low-budget films. Low-budget films are so important. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you get actors who say, well, you know, I did major films. I'm not going to do your low-budget film. It really helps when the Lou Gossetts say, you can use my name, and I'll be in your film. And that develops more filmmakers, and that's helping the industry. But he was a great guy. Every time I heard him speak, I heard him speak at a couple of at the American Film Market one time, and he really had the crowd right there, you know, wanting.
Well, it came from the heart. You know, he really meant what he said. It wasn't like put on or for publicity or anything. It was him. This mm-hmm. was the real man. Mm-hmm. So, but that's
another great interview, Mary Jane, and you did it again.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
We pulled it out again.
Pulled out another one. They're going to continue.
You did say something that really interested me.
What was that?
You said you were doing podcasts back there.
Yes. That was my pop-off radio show that I was doing, quite a few years ago.
Right.
The podcast would be put up on the website. Now we have podcast. This podcast is all over. How many countries? Several countries, too.
We're in 17 countries right now.
Oh, amazing.
I looked at the map. And the only reason I know we're in those countries is because we have a listener there, or two or three. So we were doubling listeners. We got to continue to have our listeners let their friends know. And we need to build the audience. And these are just great stories.
Like I said, these stories give us lessons about what's happening today. So please, please, please pass it on to your friends on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you do. Let them know about Pop Star Talk. It's important. Also, something else is important. Matthias Bombal, it's his birthday today.
Yeah.
Would I be too forward to ask you, how many years now?
58.
50, oh, just a kid.
58.
Okay, well, I got to do this before I close. Okay, I'm going to do the little happy birthday tribute for you, especially. And it comes from my heart to yours. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Matthias. Happy birthday to you. And many more to come.
Thank you. Boy, Marilyn Monroe has nothing on you.
Okay, guys, that's it for this episode, but another one from the past, but still rings true that what happened then is not so different today. Ironic, isn't it? But that's why we need to hear the past through the eyes of those who actually admired people like Lou Gossett, who was definitely one of them. So Ken, Matthias, another special time flies by. Because of the special celebrities, very special celebrities that we always remember. Till next time, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and of course, dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.